Well, welcome to this, Elective A. This is Train Your Volunteers Online, .. I am an optimist, so I'm using that phrase very generously. But simplicity is one of the goals when we talk about how we want to do training and training online. My name is Roger Timer. I am the director of Kids Count Ministries. That means that I am a local church pastor and still a children's pastor in my local congregation, King of Kings, in Omaha, Nebraska. We resource the church at large in North America and actually around the world, since we publish online resources such as children's ministry curriculum, family ministry curriculum, training materials, etc., etc., etc. Now to the point where we actually have set up different, like a Kids Count India and Malaysia and Indonesia. So our heart is to give away anything that we can as part of the mission arm of our church, which is about equipping. Now that means that you and I have something very important in common. We are here because it is God's calling on our life. Did I turn it on? Do you see numbers going? Good. Thank you. It is God's calling on our life that we are to equip the people around us. And that is a daunting task in today's world and culture, since the trading commodity is now time. And people do not have time that they are really, they're very jealous about it. And to give more time for training is difficult. As a matter of fact, the Sunday school training meeting in most churches is a thing of days gone by. So, for us to proceed, let us call on the name of the Most High God and ask that He would give us all that we need to respond to the calling He's given us. Lord God, we humble ourselves before You and we recognize You as the God of the universe, and even as we speak words in our thoughts, in our minds, we are amazed that You one individually, personally, and You also know some of the concerns on our hearts that we brought into this room as we are contemplating, Lord, Your work and how we're doing in our lives with Your work. Lord, we do pray to You in the name of Jesus, recognizing that in Him You have reconciled us to Yourself, and You have given us all the power of the kingdom of God, that we'd be shaped like Him and serve You like He does. So how do we better serve You by equipping the people You've charged under us? And especially using technology. Help us sift through the multitude, the labyrinth almost, of decisions that we have got to make and what we're going to try and attempt to do and what we're not going to be able to do. Help us be wise discerners of the technology made available. Especially, Lord, let not the complexity of today's fast-paced world get in the way of what's most important. And what's most important is being and pray for that by Your power in the name of Jesus. I'm going to begin with the story of Prometheus. The Greeks had a way of storytelling, and they could talk about some of the truths of life. Prometheus was one of the gods, and the gods were ambivalent, almost hostile to humans. But Prometheus, for whatever reason, wanted to help the human plight. For you see, at this point in Greek mythology, as they explained humankind, they described humans before Prometheus as those that were completely depressed. You see, they knew the date of their death. They felt there was nothing they could do to change that. They had no motivation, and they went glumly through life. But Prometheus said, I'm going into that world, and I'm going to give them something. So he gave them the ability to break free of their doomed and pointless life by being unmindful of the day of their death and unmindful of natural limits. He then gave them ambition, that they could be more than what they were to be. But it was pointless ambition without direction. And then he robbed from the gods fire and gave it to them. Thus came to humankind, in Greek mythology, technology. Zeus was infuriated, so he sentenced Prometheus every day to be chained up, and the vultures would pick out his liver, it would grow back at night, only to be repeated. This is not a real happy story. But something happened to humankind, and what the Greeks were trying to do is describe the human plight. Because they saw with the advance of technology and all the good things that it brought, it also came to people that had a hard time discerning their limits and a hard time finding the right point and purpose to their activity. And thus, people became sometimes consumed with doing. Does that sound at all like the plight that we face today? Now, from our Christian worldview, we can say that it is a healthy thing that we would know the day of we have limits. And someday we will face our Maker, and we can look forward to that with anticipation. But we still have the gifts that He's given us and the technology. And we still have got to make those right discernments. And I believe that the church struggles as much as others with how do we rightly use technology to a point of purpose. And I am one up here as qualified in competent use of technology as anyone you will meet. I did take an entire day, it was a sick day, I stayed home, and I did nothing but surf the web and I researched this topic because I know that it is vitally important, the right use of online resources for us to train, because I know a need is out there. You've experienced it and I've experienced it also. So what I'd like to suggest that as we go through this topic that we learn to think better. That it's not just a question of you expecting me to tell you what you should do or not do, or to find the next greatest tool of technology, but to think better, how will you use technology to accomplish your end? And it ought be that as much attention would be given to the point of purpose as you give to the technology that you want to use. So if you would take an outline, if you don't have one, print it out ahead of time, there is one on the table there. We're going to follow along with a... Good, we've got some... I did request internet access for this session, and I just was sure that we would have it. And lo and behold, the Lord provided. Arlen came in, who's the director of the whole thing, and I think we're using his iPad right here that's going to get us up for that. So we'll take a look at that. But let's begin, with this important question. We all work with volunteers. What are the three things that volunteers need for them to have success in their ministry? This is what I suggest. The first thing is they need to know vision. It gives them motivation. It pulls them into the calling that you are inviting them to so that they can see, is God calling me into this? And this vision is something that I can be part of. They're asking the question, what is God doing and how would I fit into that? It's just like in our children's ministry invitation process, that when we invite someone into a ministry partnership with us to be a volunteer, we never ask them as much as possible, would you volunteer for children's ministry? We ask them, would you see if the Lord, would you take time in prayer and ask if the Lord is calling you to serve Him by serving children? You see the difference? And then we want to cast a real clear vision, a compelling vision of what it means to do that ministry. Now, here's how you do a compelling vision. You tell stories. We all have them. You have them. Matter of fact, you had some that happened last week. And what I'm going to ask you to do is think of a simple story of a real event that happened in the last 2 weeks that describes what your mission organization is all about, what it means when it's accomplishing its goal. For example, a mother came up to me Sunday and explained that the week before, when they were riding home from church, her five-year-old asked about Uncle Dave, who was sick because he wasn't in church that day. And the five-year-old's question was this, Mom, why haven't we prayed for him yet? Jesus heals the sick. It was pretty fresh. She goes, well, I suppose we need to pray for him. And his response was, well, then let's pray for him. And they proceeded to pray right then and there in the car. Now, that is what we're aiming at as far as children being empowered disciples and also discipleship being nurtured in the family. That's a picture of it. It's very simple. That would be one of the pictures that describes the vision in my ministry. What's one that describes yours? And this is an important process, so I'm going to ask that we pause right now to do it. Because I'm going to ask that you would think of a 30-second story, and you're going to share it with one other person near you. And if it's not near you, you're going to get up and walk around. And this is the stuff. When I'm in conferences like you, I usually say, don't bother me with this stuff. I don't really like to go do this. But afterwards, I usually feel better. And that's where some of those connections make. I kind of like to have friends by the end of the conference. So I'm going to ask that you do that. And it doesn't have to be only in the last 2 weeks. It could go back, you know, to the year. But think of a story. It need not be extravagant, or it might be. A 30-second story that describes what God is doing in your ministry that accomplishes your discipleship goal. The picture. Please partner up and let's take 3 or 4 minutes to do that now. All right. Did everybody have a chance to describe that? Thank you so much. The next thing that people need, along with vision, and by the way, vision is not something that you only do once. Bill Hybels describes it as vision leaks. I believe in that. It's like a bucket. And a bucket that leaks always needs to be filled. And people in your ministry organization always need to be filled with the with a picture, a compelling picture of what God is doing in that ministry and why they're an important part of it. But the next thing they need is training. And they are asking the question, who can teach me to do this ministry? Have you noticed how it is so easy for us to put people in places and say, God bless you, I'll come and check on you later. It is sink or swim. Now we know that if we had a perfect world, we would do training such as, you come in and watch me. Now, you help me. Now, I help you. Now you do, I watch. And if we were doing that, it would be a perfect world. I think that's difficult to do, but I think it is something that should be done. What that does, even if it's not that methodical, nonetheless, the best training is personal. It becomes more coaching. So coaching is a word we want to attach to training. It'll help us think of it differently. The next thing that volunteers or ministry partners need is relationships. This is their reward. How can I belong? How can I get supported? This is why my nursery staff at my church, the average tenure there is 15 years because they do life together. And every birthday party and celebrating kids' events, you know what it's like. Now, not all ministries can have that kind of longevity. The problem with it is once they get so tight, it's hard to bust in. New people. That's why we make new groups. But in either setting, the importance of relationships is vital for people to stay connected. Now, here's the next question. Which of these can we do online? I'd like us to think in terms of three. That's a great use. Two, well, maybe. One, it doesn't work very well. So when we talk about online training or online tools, we want to say which online tools could we use in the area of vision? What could we use for training? What could we use for relationship? And when you think of your ministry, I'd like you to rank with a number, 3, 2, or 1. 3 is a lot. It's a high use, and 1's a low use in each of these areas. When we speak of online training tools, let's make some helpful divisions. There are tools online that I call push. And a push tool is something that I send the information to you. There's good and bad about that. Email is a push tool. I am controlling the nature of the information and the direction of the information. Correct? But then there is the self-navigating tools. And by the way, just so we kind of go through that, just so it makes sense, this is another way to describe these are navigation directions. So you can say that the ones that we initiate are the push tools. That includes emails, texts, and now the ones that they initiate, which is called self-navigated, is blogs. They have to be the one to go to the blog. I'm going to skip over that and I'm going to come back to them. Websites, they're initiating it. And apps, again, they initiate it. And YouTube, they initiate those. But then there are some that share, and that's what I call combinations. Facebook is one. You're initiating and they are initiating. The reason these are important distinctions is because we could make extraordinary websites, but if no one ever checked it, it's not that helpful. On the other hand, we could send emails and people wouldn't open it, which is kind of the dilemma today. By the way, what do they open? 95% of? No. Text. They open their text. But what's appropriate to send on it and what's not? Otherwise, they'll see your name and not stop opening you. So you see the push and the self-navigating and then the combination when we get to social media. So we're going to look at various tools there and we're going to think together of what would be the ways to get around that. So I'm going to go back to the top of the outline and let's talk about emails. In terms of vision, hold up a finger, either a 1 or a 2 or a 3. whoops, and under emails, as to an email's capacity to cast a vision. Okay, I'm going to give you to the count of three, and then I'm going to raise my hand, and you tell me what, hold your numbers up, and then let's look around and see what we have. How effective are emails at their ability to cast vision? I'm not going to put mine up. Most of you have one. Now that's interesting. And I think I would put one on that, because it is how many people open up emails to get inspired about what it is that God's doing in that ministry. Is there a way that an email could be a two or a three? I think there is. And it would be very simple, and you could do it. You just told a story, a vision story. It lasted 30 seconds, correct? And if you had your iPad or tablet, you could film yourself telling that story, couldn't you? You could share it to your email, couldn't you? Then could you not email your network of people and say, hey, I just want to let you know, exciting things are happening in this ministry. Now it feels personal, doesn't it? Because it's a vision cast. So I think that becomes more of a two or a three. Think with me. What would happen if you walked through your ministry and with your iPad or tablet or phone even? But see, the phone, you're going to have a hard time getting a 30 second. And by the way, be very, very aware of time. How much time you use. Almost always less is more. So, you're going through your ministry and you see ministry happening in a wonderful way. You do I Spy. And you say, hey, and you take a 20-second clip, and then you go to that partner and you say, I just want to let you know I was watching you do that ministry yesterday with that child, and it just inspired me. I'd like to get your permission if I could send a 20-second video clip of that to the team. And do you see how that could work? So then now your people are being elevated up there. Now that's inspiring. Are you training? No, not really. But you are saying, this is what God's doing in our ministry. You see how simple that can be? Because now we're measuring how much time you're going to invest. Because you don't have time to bring in a film crew and all that. You just want to be able to boom, 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 done. Let's go to the next one. Training, emails. How well do emails work in the area of training? Hold your hands up on the count of three. One, two, three. I see mostly ones or zeros. I see why. Because people usually don't open them. But what do we send them for training? Stuff to read.
A lot of information.
There's a challenge here. I think there's a way that we can make it a two or a three. When, if we did that, we'd be very conscious about time, wouldn't we? We'd also have to be very conscious about how much time we're going to invest in it. So let me share with you what we did at our church, and now we have made this available to churches around English-speaking places, countries. And it is as simple as this. If our internet is working here, this is our ministry arm website, Kids Count Publishing. And if I go on the front page to this free short training videos, and I click there, and it's going to be a little bit slower here since I'm using some and a Da 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 da. Well, this is, I'm going to do it a different way. Just in case I did not have the internet working, I said, I'm going to at least make a backup plan, though it's not great. Here's my backup plan. Okay, I've given it every chance. So you guys lose. I'm going to go to a video clip that I just took with my camera, and I filmed it. Then I recorded it. Then I tried to embed it into the slide presentation, which crashed all the slides. That's what I get for having a sick day. I stayed home all day. I said, jeebers. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go here and get this. Hopefully I don't have so many things running here that, Lord, please, you cast out demons in your day. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm going to...
That's my world right there. Yeah.
Well, look at... Well, let's see. What do we have here? Is that my PowerPoint behind it? All right. Let's minimize that. I'm not sure if that's all going to make much of a difference. These are all the websites I was going to recommend. We're going to try this one more time. Okay. Now... Why wouldn't this work now? Because that certainly worked before several times. Good idea. And maybe I have too many of these. Oh, I totally closed it. Let me go to where I have it. And this would be under video clips. And let's go to this one right here and see if we can't get it this way. And after this, there's only so much that I'm going to have patience with. All right, this will be the front of the website. And then it would... Is it running? Okay, after clicking that, you would go back to the training page. And on the training page, you see this page marked Download. You would hit that, and this is a Word document. And this tells you all the different training tips, emails, for you to cut and paste into your email for your children's ministry workers. But you need to edit it because it needs to be personalized. It needs to be a directive from you. These are given once every 2 weeks. You have a first Monday, a third Monday, a first Monday, and a third Monday. And on first Mondays, or the first one of the month is personal growth topics, and then you have a skill sharpener, and then there's a topic to increase people's understanding about age-appropriate activities with kids called Understanding Kids, and then there's another skill sharpener. So you see how every other week, and we found that people opened them when they were coming every other week, because every week was too much. We also found that what would happen is on these, that, so for example, here is session 2. And here's an opening paragraph that you would change. We would write it, hey, kids count team, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Now, the first category is addressed to directors in ours, because that is addressed to people like you or me. You would want to probably erase that and look at it yourself, because there's coaching points for directors. But the other ones, such as for shepherds or coaches or puppeteers, they're all there, and then it would be according to their area. And I'll give you a sample of what that looks like here. This is how to just do a quick edit. That's what I'm doing, and I think I did not have my camera very well centered here, did I? But there are different categories, and as we're going through there, I think that's enough there. And let's see if I can't go to one sample of what they would receive. this is a snack-sized video. That's what we call them. And that means that they're 2 minutes. Hopefully 2 minutes or under. Sometimes they might go just a bit over. You can say a lot in 2 minutes. And if you want to do this yourself, all you would have to do is use a flip camera. That's all we did. But we did have an editor actually put the front and the end to it. So it had kind of a sharper look. And well, here is something. I don't know if that is my problem. If it is, I'm canceling them all. And would someone please pray for this technology? And one more time. There you go. Well, now we finally have something is happening here with how this is sounding. Holy wow! Simple, isn't it?
Is the actual video clip on your site?
They're all on YouTube. But you go to the website and you click there, and then it's going to, you undo the document, and then you cut and paste the document into your website, and that document has the link to YouTube. Now, when you do that, you want to, at the end of that link, put your cursor and then hit return. And after you do that, it underlines it so it gets it ready to click and send. So that's just one of the tricks of making it ready and doing it. Then you can follow our suggestions for every other week and hear the different categories. In your church, you may not have categories like we do because we do have coaches, we do have shepherds, we do have presenters, we do have welcome team. And on certain day, on certain weeks, they all get a skill builder. Now, we're still doing them. But another suggestion is for you to do your own. Then make a YouTube channel. And you can check our YouTube channel at Kids Count, and you can find lots of resources. We have lots of resources, especially in build it yourself or sew it yourself, some of the paint it yourself for decor, a wide variety of things that might be helpful to you. And since I don't have this up, I'm not able to go there, but you will not have a hard time if you are on a video that we have And you just go on over to click on, so you can get on our channel. Just go click to Kids Count. Now, others have it the same way. You can make a channel for your ministry. It's not hard. That is simple. Because if it starts taking you so much time, it's not worth it. If they're not looking at it, it's not worth it. Let's not fall into the technology trap of just trying to do more that way, but we're just making people's worlds more complicated. If I might mention one more thing in this topic, I've got a couple other snack-sized videos, but I'm not going to go through them. That was one was certainly enough. I'm going to go on with the outline. Relationships, emails. How do emails ever work or help with relationships? Their value. One, two, or three. What do you think? Get ready to hold your hand up. One, two, three, hold them up. I've got a wide variety, I see, from ones, twos, and threes, probably equally divided. So you tell me, if you raised it for a three, how do you see emails helping to keep relationships going? Little encouragements, okay? For example, what's a little encouragement that really might help a relationship? Okay, what Donna said is, thinking of you, saw you doing something Sunday. Now, what she did was not a group email. She did a personal email because personal emails are different. Therein is the distinction. Because what we want to do is use the tools wisely so that when they see our name behind it, they want to open it. Okay? Now let's go to the next one. The next one is text. We're on the with text. Is a text, can a text be used very well for vision? You hold up your scoring for it. One or two or three. Hold them up. Yes. Hardly any use at all in terms of vision. What about for training? One, two, or three? Yes, very low. Reason why is if you're going to do training, texts have got to be quick. So you're not going to really teach them much, and you certainly can't put much video loop on there. It's going to be too slow. You can't put a snack-sized video. That's too slow. Can you put a 15-second one, 10-second one? Maybe a picture, but that's not really training. What about relationships? Oh, look at those numbers. 3, 4, 5. When is it helpful for relationships? You tell me. Example. How have you used text for relationships? Yes. A short encouragement. Yes. And there is a distinction between the personal text and the group text. And the group text, again, make that something that's really kind of grabbing and compelling, you know. And everybody, you know it's going to everyone. You might even put a picture in it, which is not hard to do. Thanks for your great work Sunday. Wow, check it out. Picture. And you know what? Would that make you feel good if you're a volunteer? Yeah, and does that take you a lot of time? No. Now, when you hear of someone's having one of your ministry partners is ill, do you text them and say, praying for you? Yeah, that would work. You feel connected that way. But you may also be sensitive that as you do that, really be praying for them. And that might warrant a phone call later on. Hey, I was praying for you. And I think people understand your busy world too, that in some days you don't have time to stop and make a phone call to see how they're doing. So text is very appropriate in today's language. But at least now we're all thinking a little bit differently in this matter, aren't we, in terms of what's appropriate training, what's appropriate vision, and what's appropriate relationship. Now we're going to move to the next categories. And in the next categories, that's fun. Oh, here we go. These are categories in which they initiate. And these are various blogs. And what I did here is I gave you a website, because those of you that are interested in children's ministry, this is one site that has a great listing of children's ministry blogs. It rates them. This website is ministrytochildren.com. And they are filled with lots of good resources. They're one that I would recommend. Here are some of the top children's ministry blogs. Jonathan Cliff's, Jim Weideman, number one and two. This is Jonathan's. This is on his blog page, Leaders Say They're Sorry. Now, what's interesting about some of these blogs, they're going to become very teachable. Not all your volunteers are going to want those kinds of information. Most of them are just kind of getting by. Usually, you're the one that's thinking, hey, I'm going to get some skills online. You're very discretionary as far as how much time you're going to spend. You only have so much for your own training and reading. Is it going to be a book or is it going to be a blog? Differences are blogs can be quick and current. Books can be more well-developed in terms of your own professional thinking. Or comprehensive would be a better way to say it, perhaps. So, these are some of the different blogs. And, again, they are initiated by the other, by the people around you and your ministry partners. Some really may gravitate towards the conversations on those.
So would you tend to then...
I don't. Okay. Because, truthfully, they won't go. But my staff, I will. Yeah. And I usually do that by saying, interesting blog, check it out. Then I email it. And then some of those that want to further their conversation, jump on it and go. Now here's the difference. What we want to do in our ministry equipping is not simply teach people how or what to do. We want to help people learn to think. You see, there's a big difference there. And leaders really help people learn how to think in higher capacity ways. So when I send a blog to some of my key leaders, I'm inviting them into a conversation where they can help think. And some of these people are ones that help craft the vision and strategy of the ministry. Great question. Any others? Website, I mentioned ministrytochildren.com. Some of the others, Kids Matter is a great one. Also, K Magazine for you children's ministry. Ryan Frank, do you know Ryan? Have you heard of Ryan? Boy, if it's on technology, he could be here. But, I mean, this guy is a great thinker in kids' ministry and started CM Connect is a great network. By the way, I have all these websites on a Word document that if you will email me, I will email you with it. So don't sweat getting them all down. I've got some more that I did not put here. Kidology is another great resource. We have a lot of free resources on our website as well, so I would put Kids Count in there as well. The free short training. Now what about apps? How many of you have a church app? Good. And are you finding people using the church app?
Well, yes.
A ton. And the church app is going to be here for all of us soon. And again, we are giving control of people to navigate their own way. but also we're helping to shape cultural expectations, because expectations now are that if you want to find out something, you ought to be able to go to the web and find out whatever you want. And if you're not accessible there, you may not be credible. And generationally, we need to understand that. That's why you would start with your youth there. Makes sense, right? That's why they don't use dictionaries. Why would they when they have their phone? So let's take a look at how you can easily do an app. I will go to my amazingly slow computer right now and pray for deliverance. I do believe in the full working of God's power and know that He can even help technology do what it needs to do. But I will not suggest that technology is going to be any substitute for the power of the gospel. Brace yourself in case I have that sound issue again. This is from Roar. That's someone describing their church's app, Redeemer. And the people that put this together is Roar. And this is on their website. I just did a real quick video clip of it. And they're relatively inexpensive as far as getting you started. Now, another one that we are investigating is a Family Time app. And one of my friends put together a Family Time app for his church so the parents can go on and download their devotions. And also, you can keep current those kinds of information pieces that you're sending to people. Once again, you're trusting them to navigate to it, but you're also honoring their time in a new way. Okay? Questions, comments about this? Yes?
I'm a little ignorant about the app and the website.
Okay, an app is something that I would use on my portable device. And when I pull it up, it's going to have a whole website behind it that's going to give it information. Now, you can have an app that takes your church website and lets you go through it for information there. Or you can have an, does that make sense? Because, and help me with those of you that would know this better than I, and I should turn the recording off now, because I am not real good at this, and that's why the communications department in our church is, you know, slowly trying to take us through what it means for us to have an app. But if you were to take your portable device and go on the internet through it, you could look up your church's website. But it might be hard to navigate on that as is. But if you had an app and you just punched it, boom, it comes up in a format that's easily read on your portable device. Now, there are certain apps that give you a variety of information that's designed specifically for your portable device. And these apps would be everything from like kids' Bible stories. Have you seen those? Some phenomenal stuff happening in the mission field on this. And I talked to a guy a couple months ago in all places in Indonesia. He was putting together he has a company. If anyone knows someone has a lot of money and wants to invest in something, I think it's going to make big headway around the globe. It is in a whole sequence of Bible stories that are interactive that kids go through, and they're told in different languages that you interact with the story as you go. Yeah. Well, I forgot his web. I don't even know his website. I'm sorry. But I do know that there's many apps right now that are designed for children and are Bible stories. And these are being produced by people not necessarily for ministry purposes, but for profit purposes. They're not necessarily Christian ministries doing them because there's so much profit in it, in the app explosion. Yes?
Question that applies at the end of your presentation.
But we're getting to that.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, let's jump there. Tell me what your question is. And
so I think these are... I think that these great tips and evaluate, or how would you evaluate how and if the exalted anymore evaluates if it is you?
I believe that's an outstanding question that we all are asking. And I believe the answer lies in the people in the seat right here. You've got to find out how you're going to evaluate. Also, as you share ideas, you find out from peers what works and what doesn't work. We cannot think of technology as a body of information that can be mastered. Rather, it's an ocean that we swim through because it's changing and people's expectations are changing behind it. So what we need to do is always be asking that question. That is key. If we do not, we will spend a lot of time doing something that may not have what we call affectionately the juice squeeze. It's just the squeeze, the effort is not worth the juice. What we try to do is ask our people regularly to see, you know, that it is connecting there. I'm going to just show you one more thing that I think would be helpful as we go down our resources and we're going to close. Because when we go to social media as one of those other ways that you connect, these are, you may be thinking this is, and again, watch your own personal habits here. For me, this is hard. Anytime in the morning, if I go to Facebook before I have my Bible time, I got this thing out of whack. Stupid. What am I thinking? And the only reason I go to Facebook is that my staff has made me. Because I've got to connect with people socially that way. That's part of this world. And I'm supposed to Facebook your picture today and send it back when my last six have not posted for whatever reason. I don't care. But it is part of this, and you might want to think in terms of your own Facebook group in your ministries. That's very easy to do. Also, look at your own group of interests on other Facebook groupings. The 414 Family Challenge, for example, is one that I'm in, or the Family Ministry Church Leaders. There's some very good ones there. In terms of training, there's some things, please, as children's ministry, consider the MAX 7 resources. Free children's ministry training is a global movement. It's exceptional. The 1 for 50 movement, I'll send you those emails if you'll email me. 1, number 1, 450, 50 the number. We want to raise up one children's ministry leader for every 50 children in the world. And they've got great training material for children's ministries to train their leaders so it would work in your system. But we're doing it globally. There's some powerful stuff there. Now it's kind of getting in some of the networks of what websites to go check out. So email me and I'll give you those. Finally, you might consider a private social media. An example of that is Table, and that is Facebook for your congregation or your organization. And it's so that you get to know each other there. Have any of you heard of that? So we're just experimenting with that in our place, and it really seems that I think it's going to be something that will work and help. It's for your church or your larger organization. If you just Google it, you can go check it out there. Thank you for your attention and for your patience in this. Let's pray over it. Lord, I am so thankful to you, and I'm so thankful today that all the things that I was worried about as far as technology indeed did happen. Because, Lord, I'm just so thankful that you are so much bigger than that. Lord, instead, just give us a heart to care after the things that you care, and a heart for people, that we connect with people relationally, we lead them well. And Lord, if there's some tools here, give us wisdom, Lord, so that we know our limits and our bounds, and we use that which is helpful, but we don't get caught up in it. May all this, Lord, serve to better disciple people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. My email address is on the front of your handout. Roger@kingofkingsomaha.org. And if you don't have a handout, there's one on that back page. Back there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That's excellent.
Oh, good.